We all carry baggage from our past, those little voices that whisper, you can't, or you're not enough. But what if you had the permission to let them go, to evolve beyond those limitations? Join us on Permission to Evolve as we dive deep into personal development, unearth those limiting beliefs, and step into the most authentic version of ourselves. Welcome to Permission to Evolve. I'm your host, Brandon Thelk. I am a performance and life coach. I'm joined by my co-host and producer, Holly DeShane. So we're getting into the second week of the new year here, trying to get some momentum going. I'm excited about getting some new projects going with my business and yeah, just trying to start the year strong. How are things going for you, Holly?
It's been a very interesting start to the new year, I'd say for me, but I am excited for 2026. I think there are a lot of things on the horizon to look forward to. Usually I do things like, you know, pick a goal or a word for the year or something like that. And I've not done that yet this year. I mean, I have a big physical goal on the calendar. I don't count those things, but I have not picked like a word or I've been kind of trying to figure out what I want that to be. Have you picked your word for 2026 yet?
Well, I often like don't really have one until I'm into the year and I'm starting to see a theme. I'm I see everything as this like ongoing process and everything's a progression. And, you know, as the year develops, I start to see like, oh, okay, this is what's happening. Maybe it's how the stars are aligning for me this year or whatever, but I don't set a lot of very specific intentions. It's just more of the good things going on in my life and more of like going in and trying to bring more out of myself each year and expand my capacity to serve and be better. And yeah, so I guess I don't get caught up into that. I just, as I reflect, I more see that in my life.
Last year was very clear to me at the beginning of the year, the word I wanted to focus on, which was freedom last year. And this year I like don't have that same, this is the thing I want to concentrate on. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I've been toying with the idea of maybe it's visibility.
Yeah, that might be a good one for you.
Yeah. I'm not ready to commit though.
Yeah. We'll feel it out. So today we're going to get into this idea of permission to commit, you know, so I think it's a good next step in this kind of series of the last few we've got going on of creating things and being more intentional. The commitment piece is tough, you know, because a lot of times we're committing to things before we feel fully ready for them. And we get caught up a lot in the details of what it needs to look like. And that causes hesitation. And so it's just more about the lens I want to teach through today is more about committing to yourself and then figuring out the expression of it later. And so that means, you know, just being more clear on our vision and, you know, kind of overall what we're looking to do, but then also growing our energy and getting more clear about the relationships we have in our lives, the track we're on, you know, am I in alignment with the things I want? Do I have some sort of accountability? Was it somebody else or myself? Do I have a version of that holds me to what I say I want? It's just getting to that place of commitment is this idea of I need that 100% to be really effective. If I've got like one foot in, one foot out, that's going to bring us pretty mixed results. As we take the commitment, it's more of as I'm taking the steps, the path is getting revealed to me, but then I'm finding the parts of myself that's not fully on board yet. You know, that's a big part of what we talk about here is how our past does affect our present and also our future. There's just going to be some fears, some anxieties, you know, disappointment, letdown. The things that hold us back are the part of us that aren't fully on board and don't believe it. We're always trying to bridge that gap to how can I get more behind this? How can I believe it more? How can I see the path to it? It's a process. It's really this idea of choosing ourselves, you know, which we could say is quote unquote selfish, but it's like, we always sprinkle in, you know, context of like, yeah, like I'm choosing myself because maybe I've sacrificed myself for other people too often. And that's led me to a life that I'm not very happy with. To get that clarity on like how to improve things for me, I do need to get a little bit more into protecting my energy and getting really clear on what I want and how I can make it happen. It's just that when I choose myself, that doesn't mean I'm abandoning everybody around me. There's certain situations, like of course we'll be there, of course we'll show up, Of course, we'll offer support where we can, but it's stepping out of a lot of the little games that pull us off track, a lot of the bonding patterns of participating in things that I know aren't in alignment with me, or that I'm just doing that to make another person feel comfortable. That goes with that visibility idea of I'm just really owning my energy, getting comfortable in my own skin, being very clear about the path I'm on, and aligning the pieces to get there.
I'm excited to dive in this deeper. But before we do, we're going to do our new question for Brandon segment. And if you want to submit a question to Brandon, you can do so by emailing podcast@BrandonThelk or reaching out via DM or text message. Any way you would like to communicate, we can get a question. So just putting that out there before this question. So the question that this is from me again this week, but is a little bit about tools people use for development. And what I mean by that are things like, you know, books where you read a section, like a one page every, I think there's, what is it, like the Daily Stoic, right? So he has like a book and you read one every day. Or those calendars where you rip off and has reflection every day. Or it could be, you know, oracle cards or something like that. Talk a little bit about how you see those things, benefits, upside, downside, that sort of thing.
I think those forms are productive because they're digestible. Today, I'm going to focus on this idea. Today, I'm going to have this intention. Today, I'm going to, or if I draw the card, I'm going to keep this in mind. I think it's just all like being more conscious, more thoughtful, you know, and I think, you know, those are great steps to not overwhelm yourself. Much of the problem with these things is like, when I get going, I try to do too much too fast. And then that kind of, that sinks me. So it's just like finding like little things that interrupt your patterns, that make you more thoughtful, more conscious about what you're doing. I think that all serves pretty well. I think it's, you always want to bring like your specific lens to whatever it is. It's asking those deeper questions of like, what does this mean to me? How can I apply it to my life? If it doesn't resonate, we also want to have that ability to just let it go. I don't want to be, oh, this said and I need to do this, and so I have to do it. If it doesn't feel right to you, if you don't quite agree with it, you know, maybe you sit with it a little bit longer and be like, well, you know, is there some truth here? Or, you know, do I feel like something's off about it? That's working on our intuition a little bit. With oracle cards, I think the downfall can be there is if people put too much stock in what it says, where they assign too much meaning to it, and then they're hyper aware and like looking for the signs too much, and then they're not participating in their life. You know, I think that's kind of a pitfall that can happen there is our mind can take these ideas and run with them. And then we're trying to see everything through that lens, and that might be a little bit off base. You know, we might not be actually present and paying attention to what's going on. So it can pull us off, and, you know, it can cause a little like disillusionment where I'm trying to assign too much meaning to things. And so I think it's like everything is just sitting with it, absorbing it, and seeing what it means for you, and then kind of surrendering it. So letting it go and moving about your day. I think the big part here is we're taking time for ourselves. We're taking some time for a little bit slower pace, some conscious thought to connect inward with ourselves and kind of see what feels right for me today. Oftentimes, like on a daily basis, you know, unless my schedule's jam-packed, I spend a good amount of time to just really connect inward and try and figure out like what's the energy of the day and like what do I need to accomplish today. I think those are all pretty useful practices.
So ready to talk all about commitment?
Yeah, let's shift gears here. Commitment can be scary. You know, we could think that if I'm committing to something, then, you know, I can't change my mind. You know, I have to follow through on it no matter what. That's a big one. Because the thing is, like, if we give our mind like a very distinct intention, and I'm thinking about that on a regular basis, you know, that is going to start to kind of form my perception and my reality. Where it's like I'm almost like I'm making the commitment. It's also like we build into it. I have this ability to make adjustments and change my mind if things aren't working out, right? Sometimes we make a commitment. It might be coming from a wound. It might be coming from this place of desperation. It might be coming from something that's painful for us. And that commitment I make under that circumstances, you know, that would be really under duress, right? That's not like a clear commitment. I'm like doing this because I think it's going to fix my pain. That's a necessary part of the journey. That's often what gets you started is I'm in this place and I think this would be better. I'm going to start moving in that direction. And as I go about that, you know, my challenge for people is to always like go deeper and heal the pain so that that's not what's like driving you your whole life. Because if we're doing something out of that place of pain, there are going to be some aspects there that don't feel good, that I might be doing it for somebody else and or trying to prove somebody wrong, or, you know, I might be manipulating situations to try and tilt the scales in my favor. I might be doing some damage that's unconscious because the pain's motivating. As we get the motivation going and we start heading in direction, we want to be mindful of that. If I'm heading in this direction and I'm like not feeling very good, if I'm like angry all the time, if I'm irritable, if I'm judgmental and bitter and resentful and things like that, you know, I probably need to go a little bit deeper. I probably need to explore like what's really underneath this, because do I want to build something from that place? You know, is a good question. Because anything built from that place is going to have some flaws, and most things can be cleaned up. Some things might take a little bit of time to clean them up, but we want to be feeling our way through the process where I'm committing because I need to channel my energy somewhere. If I don't have a direction, then I'm going to be stuck and I'm going to be kind of aimless. So what gets you going is going to transform over time. As you refine yourself, that's going to get cleaner and hopefully. And then we start to continually make adjustments to be in alignment with who we are now. And so that's why I say the expression changes. Is, you know, so for me, like my first commitment was like, I want to become a professional baseball player. Right. And then like the deeper I got into that, it didn't feel right anymore. And I actually discovered a lot about myself. I discovered those painful motivations that I was talking about, that, you know, a lot of what I was doing here was to try to prove somebody wrong. And then, you know, that's the case for many athletes or high performers in general is you're generally fueled by those things to start off with. But the thing is like, if I make the commitment and I just keep moving towards it and I'm not paying attention to those signs, you know, that is where we're increasingly more miserable over time. Okay, so how many like successful people do you see that like financially that aren't like actually really happy? You know, there's versions that are, of course, but it's like the ones that built everything on pain, like they feel like trapped into something, right? They've built, you know, maybe like a big business and they have all these obligations and it was all fueled from these intentions that are coming from a negative place. Now they look at their lives and they're just like, well, I don't know what to do with this anymore. I feel stuck. I think it's just important to really stay present with things. And it is important to really clean up the pain so that that's not building your life, and that it's going to be the starting point, but generally, you know, we got to get back to connecting yourself and figuring out what you want every step of the way. The commitment to ourself is a commitment to your healing. It's a commitment to your integrity. It's a commitment to your values. It's a commitment to the type of person you want to become. And when we're becoming somebody, that means we're letting go of everything that's not us. If I have this ultimate vision for myself, I'm going to need to unlearn a lot. I'm going to need to shed a lot of the aspects of me that are survival based. Those are things that, because that's what's going to limit me. And that's what's going to cause me to sabotage things. I want to continually refine myself and bring it to a cleaner emotional place, you know, and our mood is such a great indicator of that, you know, how I feel, what my thoughts are. If that's mostly negative, there's probably some adjustments we got to make. We probably need to go a little bit deeper and discover like what's really behind some of this stuff. The commitment is to ourself, to the towards this ongoing journey of continuing to discover ourselves and to grow ourselves and to increase our capacity. As we do that, we start to create options. I create options for myself because I have this deeper perspective. I have some deep knowledge or skill, and I can express that many different ways. If I get too attached to things needing to look a certain way, Now I might start trying to force things in that direction. And when I'm forcing things, that's going to be causing problems. So it's always this step back. When things aren't working, I want to step back and I want to take a deeper look. I want to take a broader look as well to be like, okay, where is the opportunity actually? Because what I decided early on might not be what it is still. That's that continuously being present with yourself, being in tune with the situations of your life, and always making the adjustments to feel better. How we feel, that's our compass. If I feel stronger, if I feel more balanced, if I feel lighter around certain areas that used to be heavy for me, you know, that's a pretty good sign I'm on the right track. Because we're trying to unlock the nervous system. When I'm under a negative mindset and negative emotions, my nervous system's contracted and shut down. And I'm operating out of a survival mindset, which is like, you know, in extreme cases, that's like narcissistic, right? All that matters is me. Then that starts to give me permission to do damaging things to get what I want. We stay out of those traps by just feeling things out, always cleaning things up to a better place. And all we're trying to do is climb the ladder from something being negative to neutral. And as we do that, as we soften the emotions, our mind starts to expand and open up, and we're able to see things differently. And we also start to dismantle a lot of the ideas that can be damaging, like competition in its raw form. I think competition is good. It's a powerful motivator, but then it can be to the point where it's just like, once again, very damaging. Like, I want to destroy my competitors. And that's like where we start to see a lot of negative qualities come out. And that stuff doesn't make us happy. I might win whatever I'm trying to accomplish, but it's also going to have a lot of collateral damage to it, where that's going to, you know, just create a lot of guilt and shame over time. And that's really going to lead down a road of misery. We don't want to get trapped into something that's going to make us miserable. And that's why we do this work every step of the way. And the commitment is really to finding your peace with something. If it's always in this place of, I need to conquer something, you know, that's generally me not feeling good enough. I'm trying to beat everybody else. That might be a motivation for a while. That might be good because that might focus us enough to really get to develop ourselves and to get to develop a skill. But that stuff's not sustainable. And that's also often what leads to the kind of long-term failure or long-term misery.
As you were going through that and you kind of went through the journey that I'm about to ask about, but I'm wondering if we can talk a little bit more about, one, you make a commitment and yet you still can reserve the right to change your mind, that. But then also let's talk more about what it looks like to commit to yourself as opposed to the prior question, which is more around maybe committing to a thing or an event or a project or something that you're working on, right?
It's like committing to your growth and development, really. Whatever I'm setting out to do, if I'm not currently there, I have to go on a journey. I have to build myself in some way to get to that outcome. That's the commitment we're after, is, okay, this is the thing that's like calling my attention. This is the thing that's interesting to me. This is the thing that I think will solve my problem. So I'm committing to moving towards that. And as I'm moving towards that, things are going to get revealed to me in that process. You know, I have to become greater. I have to be capable of more. I have to be more fine-tuned, more dialed in. You know, yeah, I might have to conquer like procrastination and, you know, self-doubt and imposter syndrome and, you know, that's like overcoming a lot of those survival patterns. That's overcoming the aspects of us that makes us play small. And so that commitment is like, I know as I move towards it, those things are going to get brought up. When they get brought up, what do I do with them? Do I take those and I rework them? Once again, do I neutralize them and integrate in that shadow part of me so that I gain clean power? You know, not like a dominant power where I'm just trying to control everything, but more of, you know, when those insecurities surface, do I take the time to make peace with those, which expands my energy? Or when they come up, I stuff them back down and just keep driving forward. So when they come up and if I just keep driving forward, now I'm actually like strengthening all those, right? Because the awareness was brought to the surface, but I didn't want to see it. And I, once again, I would reaffirm my commitment to the thing, but now I'm like, I'm adding more negative energy to it. So I'm operating like I need to prove myself. I need to make this happen. I need to do this at all costs. And that's where all the damage gets done, is we're not taking that time to discover and learn about ourselves throughout the journey. That's the choosing ourself piece, is like, I'm expressing myself in this way in order to discover and learn about myself. But if I need that thing to solve all the problems that I feel inside, you know, that's where we're off track, because everything's being built on that pain. Okay. So I have a choice every step of the way, and it's either I gain the self-knowledge and I gain the growth out of it, or I am going to be strengthening myself. So I might get better at what I'm doing, but I might just be more manipulative, right? I might be, you know, stronger in negative qualities that might allow me to climb, but all those things eventually lead to a downfall. And, you know, so are you familiar with Alex Rodriguez? He's a baseball player.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
So used to be a Yankee. Definitely, yeah. Familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I just watched his documentary on HBO, and, you know, I definitely recommend that. You know, but that was, you know, tremendous player, tremendous talent, but, you know, his dad wasn't present in his life, and he didn't have a lot of guidance. And, you know, so he developed all these like negative qualities, right? Where, you know, he was like doing steroids and all these things, but then he was like, and he got, even after he got caught, like he wouldn't admit that he did it wrong. He did something wrong, right?
Yeah. And, yep. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it was just kind of this, it was very clear that, well, and he, in the documentary, even he calls himself a narcissist and stuff, right? He's just like, he's like, yeah, I was like a total idiot. He's like building on the pain of like being abandoned by his dad. You know, once again, was able to be a tremendous player, but yeah, he wasn't very well liked, right? Because it was just like, even after he's caught, like, hey man, like, it's okay. Like, just serve your suspension. But now he's like suing everybody and he's doing all these things. And that's the thing. That's what those negative qualities do. So he ended up working with this, I believe as a therapist, it was some doctor, like, you know, he'd go on these retreats in Colorado and the guy would just dismantle his ego, which is what I love to do. And
yep.
Now like he's doing this documentary from this place of like all this stuff's behind him and he's like reflecting on it. And yeah, he's like seeing like where he went wrong and like, yeah, like where he was operating from at that time and like why he was doing that. And like, that's the healing work, is he's able to like look at these things now and be like, I see what I did wrong. I see the flaws, like I own it, that kind of thing. It was this big journey of like, well, and if you think about it, okay, you're a top five player in the major leagues, you know, starting at like 19 years old or whatever. I mean, he was super young when he came in and, you know, he got like all the biggest contracts. And when you're in the spotlight, it's very difficult to sort that stuff out, right? It's just like he needed like the suspensions. He needed the time to be like, okay, yeah, you keep screwing up, like you can't play anymore. Like he needed that to like put his ego in check. And so that's the thing. We need that space. We need that space to reflect. We need, hey, am I on the right track? I might be successful, but like, how am I treating people? How am I going about my business here? Am I damaging a lot of people in the process? You know, that's the stuff we all regret. It was cool to see it like go full circle for him, where, you know, he was able to, you know, get real about this stuff. And so that, you know, that's all we're really talking about here is like, you know, he didn't have a chance to do the work ahead of time. Life can move fast. Okay. You're an amazing player and you're thrown right into it at a young age, you know, but you know, that's what everybody around him was saying, is like how immature he was, like emotionally. And that's the piece there is like, we want to be refining our emotions. We want to be bringing them to a mature place based on the context of our life, because he's trying to be, you know, go through these like steroid scandals and all these things, but his like mindset and emotions are stuck to that of like a teenager, right? That's how he was approaching things. That's all we're trying to do, is we're trying to grow with our experiences. We're trying to do it throughout the whole process, rather than I get so far and now I created all these problems and now I have to go back and retrieve all this stuff. But, you know, it's a much more elegant approach to have that mindset going into something. I'm going to take these steps, but in that process, I'm going to grow through things. I'm not just going to develop the skills and then like stunt my emotional growth, you know, because that's what leads to all the problems is I don't know how to handle these situations because I can never be wrong. Our ego's designed to protect us no matter what. It's trying to protect our self-image. And so when we're making excuses and justifying things and defending our actions constantly, that's just protecting the pain. And if the pain's the driver, it's going to be causing all this collateral damage.
I'll have to watch it. I was a Yankee fan in that era that when he played, although I preferred Derek Jeter personally, baseball player. So I think that's a good example, right, of moving through all of the pain and being committed to yourself to heal on the other side. I'm wondering if you have any other examples like that we can talk through. I'm kind of coming to the, I can always come up with a triathlon related example. You commit to an Ironman and then, but then maybe something you don't end up doing it for some reason or another, that one, but maybe there's something maybe there's a better option than the Ironman example.
Well, you know, I think going back to what you were saying earlier about this ability to change your mind, I might choose to do the Ironman. I might set that intention. And then as I go through my life, you know, I might be like, oh, this doesn't actually fit, right? I need to make an adjustment. That's what we're talking about is like, okay, if I attach to that idea of like, I need to make this happen in this timeline, you know, now I'm putting all this pressure and I might be putting desperation in there. Why is it so important that I do this thing to begin with? Okay. If the desperation's behind it, generally it's like motivated externally. You know, usually I'm trying to prove myself in some way because I don't feel good enough. That's where we don't allow ourselves to change our mind, is because we're too plugged into the wound. Where I just like keep forcing it, keep pushing it forward. And then, you know, even if it's not working, I often think that's why a lot of injuries happen, is like we push ourselves past limits because we're trying to like force things rather than continuously realign and make adjustments based on what's going on.
I did think of another example while we were talking through that one. Are you familiar with Mark Manson?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he very publicly a couple of years ago on his podcast, you know, said he was going to run a marathon. He'd never run a marathon before. And then he didn't end up doing it. You know, as you were talking through that, pushing through, one of the things he talked about pretty publicly was he started the training and realized he hated it. And that there was just no way he like saw any long-term value for himself to force himself to do this. Maybe talk about like that too. You make a commitment, and as you start down the path, all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is not for me.
I think that's kind of it, is like you have to get your feet wet. When I make a commitment and I'm like actually backing up with action, now I'm starting to experience it. As I'm experiencing it, you know, the new information's coming in, and then I'm able to like get clear on, is this the right fit or not? It's allowing ourselves to make those adjustments, because once again, okay, I said this publicly, and now if I feel like I have to do it, I'm doing it out of obligation for like other people. I'm not doing it for myself. These things are tricky because like everybody's like, oh yeah, you should find like somebody to hold you accountable or whatever. But I'm more of we want to get to this place of self-authority. We want to get to this place of like, I take some time to connect with myself. And so I really understand what's best for me. Of course, like there's guidance and help outside. There's people that can push me if I need to. But you know, if something's just like a non-starter, like you're going to kind of know that early on. Like, so as you go down that road, this isn't what I thought it was. Because until I start doing something, I'm just like making assumptions. I think this would be cool. I could probably do it or whatever. But like, once you start to get into the details, it might not be worth it, right? That's that ability to cut your losses. But it's not even like cutting your losses. It's just like that self-discovery. I had to go experience it to understand that actually isn't what I want. Like I made all those statements before I knew that information. That's why we loosen our identity around things, you know, because let's say I'm like, okay, I'm going to go do this. And then I start attaching my identity to it. And then once my identity is wound up in it, if I don't follow through on that, then what does that mean about me? Okay. usually that sinks our self-worth, self-belief, like, you know, kills our confidence. And because like, I'm not backing up the thing I said I would do. But so we want to make that commitment from a place of clarity, from a place of peace, not the place that I need to prove myself to somebody else. And that's saying, I think it's that freedom to discover things. That's why it's, you know, try things out. The expression doesn't matter. We're choosing to learn about ourselves throughout the process, no matter what we're doing. And so I might dabble here and there, but I'm trying to see it through a certain lens of like, as I go get these experiences, like what's the feedback? What's coming up in me? What's stopping me? If I feel like I have to force myself to do something, you know, the entirety of the experience, like why not just go do something that you're excited and aligned with? Like, yeah, you know, why we can get better through the struggle, but is that what's going to make us miserable? Will that put me in a depression of like, I'm going to do this thing I hate and dread every single day of my life? Is that like the best use of my time? It's just this openness. Everything's a self-discovery process. And I might say this right now, but as I get into those details, I might decide differently. I might decide that's not what I thought it was. And, but if I get that clarity of this isn't what I thought it was, and I don't want to do it, and I just keep going, that's only going to make me miserable, right? Because I'm like forcing myself to do stuff I don't want to do that I'm not in alignment with. Okay. And so that is going to affect our mood. It's going to affect how we show up. So it is more of just like there, but there might've been a piece of information in that I needed. Okay. So now that I've tried that, like I know that I don't want to do that anymore. That's a bonus. I learned something new, right? I learned that that wasn't what I thought it was. And so I'm going to change course. And it might not even be a drastic shift. It might be like, okay, I'm going to go from wanting to run a marathon to a different version of it. You know, maybe it's like, oh, maybe I like the outdoor stuff, like running through the woods or something. I don't know. It might just be a different version that I feel more drawn to. That might not be it at all, but it's like giving ourselves that freedom to make those discoveries and then not be too hard on ourselves if it's not what we thought it was. You know, and so we do that by not attaching too much of our identity to it. So that's why I really teach like a well-rounded life where we have different things we can go to bring out of our fulfillment and joy, where I'm not just trying to get it from one thing, because if that one thing didn't work out, or if that one thing isn't what I thought it was, you know, now I feel kind of trapped in it. And then I'm just doing it out of obligation because I don't know what else to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of love that. But I did have this sort of like flip side question that I thought of as you were talking through that. And that is like the Mark Manson example, right? This isn't for me. I'm not running a marathon. But let's talk about finding the right way where you need to commit. And it's not about proving it to anyone else. It is about proving it to yourself. So I'm thinking about someone, there have been, I'll just use myself as an example, so I'm not throwing anyone under the bus, but where I did the thing and I committed to showing up and doing the thing and doing every workout or every whatever it was for me to build my own self-trust in the way of like, I said I was going to do the thing, so therefore I'm going to show up and do the thing. And it wasn't about just the year I met you. So that year, for example, like I self-coached to a 70.3. My 70.3 PR was at that race, all of that. But that whole season leading into that, it was the commitment to the plan that I wrote for myself and that I didn't need to be accountable to someone else. And I was proving it to myself that I could hold myself accountable and do it every day, even when I didn't want to. So I'm wondering if we could talk a little bit about the difference between like the Mark Manson example of I hate this, therefore I'm not going to do it and it's okay to change my mind, versus the I'm committed and this is a way that I'm building self-trust.
I think that's mostly what we're talking about here is like we want more of that version of like,
right.
Oh, I noticed there's this tendency of me to, you know, try and take the easy way out or to not follow through on the things that I actually want. When I take the escape routes, like then that's where I lose self-trust. It's part of that process of like, okay, this is entirely for me. I would say that's the best form of accountability anyway, is like, I'm doing it because I want to do it, because like, I noticed that this pattern or these things might be sabotaging me over and over again. This is the time where, you know, through thick and thin, I'm really going to commit to working through that. You know, because usually you only need to really do that once, though, because that starts to heal a lot of those wounds. It's like, oh, okay, I know I can do this now. So maybe I don't need that same intensity with everything else. I at least like healed the part of me that like, I'm not going to betray myself. I'm not going to self-sacrifice. I'm actually going to align with my intention here. You know, and that's really that worthwhile journey that we're talking about, is like you're overcoming the limitations within yourself. And that's really what's the most rewarding for anybody. The external stuff, you know, many people that in the previous example, many people that would have put something out publicly, you know, as soon as they backed out, they would have like, you know, dove into like a shame spiral of, you know, oh, I let everybody down, and who am I as a man, and like all these things, right? But a confident person can just be like, no, that I don't need to go there. It just wasn't the right fit. But this one, it's like, yeah, I'm recognizing that there's some things that are holding me back, and I need some version of expression to bring that stuff out of me. It's really this like self-discovery of like, yeah, can I see this through to a conclusion? If I have a tendency to stop early, if I have a tendency to get distracted and get pulled off track easily, I generally need something with a deeper source of motivation that's gonna connect me at a deeper level where I feel more confident in my ability to follow through on the things that matter most to me. That's the thing, is it's like once you take that journey, you start to shed a lot of those pieces. Originally, it probably was more externally focused, and then you hit a breaking point where you're like, no, this is about me now. And then that's a progression. I shed a lot of that stuff. And so now I don't maybe need to be as intense about something. I just kind of have this confidence that I've worked at those muscles and I've built them up so that I know I can accomplish something if I really want to, or if it's really meaningful to me. Let's say we get to decide what we assign meaning to. And so once again, a lot of our meaning making gets born out of trying to solve a problem or a deep pain we have. As I detach from that anchor, I might not really have the meaning anymore. That might take the wind out of my sails of like, oh, I was like struggling along, but now I don't even carry that wound anymore. So I might not even need to finish the process. I might be like, okay, I think I'm good now. But it's just like, it's sticking with things long enough to make those discoveries, you know, because everything's revealed in these layers. So every step I take, everything I conquer that used to hold me back, now all that stuff gets less and less power, you know, because that's just the resistance within us. It's the parts of us that are operating out of patterns to keep us safe. That's really all it is. I need to shut myself down here to stay safe. But if I can push past that limit, I can be that like disproves that whole idea. Once we lose that stuff, you know, now I start to have more of this calm confidence of like, I just do what's best for me. I follow through on the things that matter most to me. I'm supportive of the people around me that are the most important to me, like that kind of stuff. That's the lens of determination. That's an important idea when it matters. I don't want to be determined when I'm like forcing something, but I want to be determined, you know, in something that's like bringing more out of me, that's like pushing me to grow in a new way, even if it's uncomfortable. That determination is just like, I'm finally making that commitment to myself that, you know, I'm basically like kind of burning the bridge. Like no matter what, I'm going to get through this so that I at least know that I can do this. And then that I'm going to be able to express that many different ways moving forward.
If someone's listening to this and they're thinking about the key takeaways or the main points that you would want to have them focus on, what would those things be?
I'm a very process-oriented person. I always think everything in your life is adding up to more if you're doing it right. And doing it right in this context is this shedding your pain, your past, the limitations, the things that have held you back. We need the outcome to commit to give us a target. And I think it's important to be able to adjust the target as you go. If we get too wrapped up in things needing to look a certain way or things needing to align perfectly with what we set out to do, that's going to lead to a lot of forcing, you know, because everything's always evolving, shifting, and changing. And as I'm growing through the process, like I'm going to be seeing situations differently. I'm going to have different preferences. I'm going to have more information to pull from. I'm going to, maybe be shedding some of this pain that we talk about where it's no longer a part of the equation. And that might lead me off onto a totally different path. And so that's why, the way we build here is that through the internal work, you're trying to develop yourself to be capable and competent no matter what you're doing, because you're connected to yourself, you're comfortable in your own skin, you trust yourself, you see yourself as a self-authority. In that place, I know what's best for me. I know like the things I need to avoid. I know like the relationships I might need to let go of or to shift or whatever, And so it's just, it's about staying true to yourself every step of the way. The commitment's always just the starting point. We need the aim to start off with. But, I would say at this stage for me, there's less and less like specific goals. I don't really do any goal setting. I don't, it's just kind of like, I keep building my capacity and things keep growing. And I expect that to add up to good things. And as I go about that process, I start to be in tune with like new opportunities that excite me. And so that's really what dictates my path is the stuff that gets revealed along the way. But the work is always to grow myself. The work is always to find those areas of me where, maybe I still have some pain or I'm holding some resentment or I've bought into disappointment or failure. And I'm just trying to rework those things so that I can be really present with stuff. And so that's really the rhythm that I try to teach, because it's an ongoing process and you evolve throughout your life and things just keep getting better and better the further along you get. There's no mountaintop. It's just this continuous climb, and you get to dictate what that looks like. But once you build your capacity, it's like everything just gets easier and easier no matter what you're doing. So it's really the refinement of yourself. Like that's what we're after, that commitment to grow myself, to overcome the challenges within me, to conquer the things that have held me back. And when I say conquer, it's more about healing them. It's more about unlearning things. It's more about I'm anchored to some negative idea, some negative experience, and I want to take a different look at that where I can neutralize it. So it's no longer this resistance within me. And then I can kind of glide into my experiences. Like it doesn't take a lot of preparation because I'm preparing myself every step of the way. So when opportunities present themselves, I'm ready to step into them. And then, it might be a little bit scary, but it doesn't feel like this like quantum leap. So it's just really about developing this internal cadence of, as I'm living my life, I recognize that it's showing me things, these negative aspects, these quality, they call it the shadow or the mask or whatever it is. These things are getting revealed to me. I can either choose to let go of them and move forward and live more authentically, or I can hold on to them. But if the awareness gets created and I hold on to them, that only hurts me actually, because it's like once I'm aware of something, I can't really go back. Now I'm like pretending I didn't see something about myself. And that's the ego trying to hide things. It's buried in negative emotion. And so it brings out these negative qualities in us. So it's this continuous refinement of getting closer and closer to who you truly are. And that's the person you came here to be before all the stuff happened to you. It's just about shedding those layers. And as we shed those, we unlock new abilities, new skills, new capacities. And that's what really makes us effective in the world.
If someone has listened to this podcast and they are interested in working with you or they want to learn more, let's talk about best places for them to find you and then anything you've got coming up that you want to talk about.
So if you're interested in this work and you want to have a call with me, you can schedule a 30-minute strategy session on my website, brandonthelk.com. So I just get a little bit of information about you and what you've got going on and share how this work can help support you through it. Also, if you want to register for my newsletter, The Lightning Report, I send that out every Monday. That's on the homepage of my website. And so that's just some tips for the week, some prompts to reflect upon. Generally, I have a theme that I, based on the podcast, really, that, just once again, what we were talking about earlier with the, Like, I'm just going to keep some of these things in mind for the week. You know, I think that's a good practice to kind of shift our lens through things. Also, you know, if you want to follow along on YouTube and Instagram at Brandon Thelk, so posts out there pretty regularly, and then at B Thelk on TikTok, please like, subscribe, follow, all those good things. Yeah, so moving to this new year, I'm going to be doing some group work. We haven't talked about this yet, Holly. I'll be doing some speaking at some events, some partnerships with people. And so I'm excited to get in some more group work and start to build out that part of the practice so that I can expand this work out further. Rather, I love the one-to-one work, but, you know, as you know, it brings a different dynamic. And, you know, I think it can be powerful to have some shared experiences. So we're going to be looking to do more of that. So excited for this year.
That's very cool. I'll make sure all the links Brandon mentioned are in the show notes or the YouTube description. And yeah, if you got something out of this and you think it could help someone, you know, sharing the podcast helps a ton, and we really appreciate it. So that would be awesome.
Well, until next time, thanks for listening.
Yeah. Talk to you later, Brandon.
All right, see you.